Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I knew they had my mic going because my wife started smiling at me. Oh, yeah. I was like, she looking at me smiling like, it's on. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, Jesus, 2017. You may be seated in the presence of God. 2017. Jesus. Hallelujah. 2017. I want to speak to you today. Because 2017 was my greatest year. It did not come without some struggles. It didn't come without some fights. But it was my greatest year. 2018 is coming, and I have such a great anticipation because I've learned. And this morning, I want to speak to you about what I've learned. Sure, the enemy is still there. The enemy will still come against. Thank you, Dennis, Candace. The enemy is still going to come against. But see, I've grown and I've come to know this. I'm not afraid. Matter of fact, this is a whole different season for me. I don't go hiding from the enemy. I don't pray that the God keep the enemy from me. As a matter of fact, I go looking for him. But see, I want to tell you what I've learned along. Because see, I wasn't always this way. I didn't want the enemy to come. Truth be told, I was fearful. I can't do it. God spoke a word and the enemy came right behind it and said, no. And not only did he say no, he began to show me things that made his no, which is a lie, but he began to show me things that caused me to believe that his no was greater than God's yes. I want to tell you what I know and what I've learned, how I've walked, some of the battles I fought that none of you are aware of, none of you know about, some that on its onset, it felt as though it was going to take me out. But God, these battles, these victories, they were not just for me, but they were that I might glorify my Father in heaven, that I might stand before you and say, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't even matter what it is. It is what it is. That's what they say. It can be that. But I know who my God is. Amen. So today I want to encourage you. I want to share what's in my heart and what's on my heart. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 34. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 34. And we're going to start with verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Say, I'm ready. Yes, Lord, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. That's like SpongeBob. Verse 1, chapter 34. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all of my fears. David says something that I remember growing up hearing in church. I remember hearing it growing up, and I don't know, maybe it's because I'm right here in the front and I'm trying to stay on key with the worship team. Amen. And but I don't so much hear it so much anymore. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. He said to magnify, let us exalt his name together. See, this is what this is all about, and this is what this is all for. The Bible tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. See, I can come here and tell you all that I've been through. Some things might even astound you. I've seen the word of God play out in my life. I don't so much see my life exterior to the word of God. But I see it in it. I've seen the word of God fulfilled in my life. I've seen it as David said, thou hast prepared the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And that's something to behold. I've been in places where all I've seen when I sat down was the opposition that came against me. Yet I remember his word, but even in his word, I remember it, but I'm looking at what is. I try to encourage myself. God, you said it, but everything is coming against me. Everything is falling about apart. Today's message is simply titled, To magnify. Are you a microscope or a telescope? Are you a microscope or are you a telescope magnifier? See, a microscope is used to make small things thousands of times larger than what they really are. But a telescope is used to make the big thing as big as it really is. Are you a microscope magnifier or are you a telescope? Are you making the small things in life big? Thousands of times bigger than what they really are. Because I've done that. I walked a long time. My birthday was recently. I am 45 years old. And I walked a long time magnifying the small things. Fixating. Because whatever you look at, whatever you fixate on, you begin to speak. And whatever you speak, the Bible tells us that we will have. And what you have, you'll begin to magnify. You're either going to be a microscope or a telescope. For me, I walked a long time just magnifying the circumstances of life, the trials of life, even the afflictions of life. I've looked out, God said that I'm blessing you, and I look out and I seen one little blessing, but I've seen an onslaught of things that came against it. And I begin to magnify the small things. I begin to enlarge the things of this world more than the things of God. But when I did that, not only did I enlarge it, I spoke it. Everyone, I feel bad for Mondays. Everybody talks bad about Monday. Unless you're in a job that's 24/7 and Monday happened to be your Friday, Monday's a bad day. And Monday just wants to be Monday. Well, here we are, Sunday, and guess what's tomorrow? Monday. Except for some of the college young adults and the school kids, Monday is like, oh, I got to go back to work. But what if you didn't have a job? Monday would be a totally different day if you didn't have a job and you're asking God for a job, but every time you put in an application and a resume, you hear nothing back. And then we begin to magnify the small things in life. We begin to speak it. I didn't give them my application, my resume. They ain't gonna call. And then we wonder why they don't call. The Bible says, whatever you speak, you'll have. Trials and tribulations, they come. But we serve a God that's bigger than that. I had determined my value and my positioning in life off of the circumstances of life. Many, many, many of us do that. You can look at the news. Because you don't make a certain income, they try to say you're here. If you're struggling trying to get a job and you're around people with jobs and they're going to shop and do all this, the enemy speaks in your ear. He tries to tell you that you're less than. And because we hear the lies of the enemy, well, listen, I'm telling you about me. Because I heard the lies of the enemy, I can't say so much that I believe them in the first moment, but if you keep speaking something over and over again, the very thing that you speak, you begin to believe. That's why I take it serious in my job when I have to go to a house where someone is contemplated harming themselves. Listen, and if you know someone, don't take that lightly, especially this time of year. Because if they're saying it, I don't care if they said it 1,000 times. If you speak it long enough, you're going to do it. If you hear the lie in the enemy and you just keep speaking it. Sure, there were some victories that I had in life, but right after a victory came some type of downward spiral that causes you to not so much look at what God had done already. We begin to look at the current circumstance, making it, enlarging it greater, a microscope magnifier. That's different than when David said. David said, oh, come magnify the Lord with me. He said, come, let's make God as big as he really is. See, God is bigger than the enemy. He's bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than your trials and your tribulations. He's bigger than the test. But the enemy comes and he causes you to look at what is. And once you speak what is, it has to manifest. The enemy has no power, make no mistake about it, over the child of God, over the sons and daughters of God. He has no power. None. Hear me, because I've walked it, I've seen it. What he needs you to speak his lie, because he knows that you, God made you just like him. Because if you begin to speak it, it has to manifest. So he needs you to speak his lie. Because if you speak his lie, then that lie begin to manifest in your life. You begin to magnify the little enemy, the little g. He's not that big. I know. He's not that big. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. He said, over everything. He's not that big. I spoke before about the image that I've seen on the internet about Jesus arm wrestling like the image of a devil. Ain't even no competition. I was offended by the image. Put me in the image. Don't put my Lord, because it's not even a competition. But when you begin to speak the lie of the enemy, it begins to manifest. And then things begin to happen to go along with the word that you speak or have spoken. Then it all looks like it's going contrary to God, because we're speaking. And not only are we speaking, we're moving. We're magnifying the little devil over our great God. And we sing a song. We sing a song that I love. Sheldon's here. He sings it. He says, our God is big, so strong, so mighty. We sing that. I was going to call John up here to help me out, but I knew I was only going to do that one little run. That was it. We sing it. Listen, I want you to just, because I've done it, just when you're singing this song, when you're magnifying God, and once again, it's such an electric atmosphere when you have the body of Christ that comes together, and we do, as David said, let us exalt him together. Then you find yourself in the atmospheres as though you can do anything. That you're like, come on, enemy. But right after the song and right after the service, we go right outside and the enemy smacks you right in the face. He tries to tell you that God's not that big. And then when you look out at you, I tell you, my life. Then you look out, I've been in the desert. I've been that there's no life, there's nothing there. I cried and I prayed, I prayed and I cried and I felt the presence of God. And when I got up, I came out and walked into the same circumstance that was there. God, where are you? He said to call. You said to call upon me, upon you in my day and of trouble, and you will deliver me. Yet for 3 years, 3 years I've prayed and cried. 3 years I had prayed and cried, and the circumstance didn't change. The circumstance, I tried to look back at each day, each month, each week, each month, and I would come out, and yet I wouldn't walk the very thing that I was praying when I was in the secret place. Although God was there, God touched me in this secret place. When I came out, I looked more at my circumstance than what I continued to look at God. When I came out, I felt the presence of God in the secret place. But when I came out, I no longer felt him. And when I didn't feel him, I asked God, are you there? Are you still there? Are you going to do what I felt? It seemed that's what you were going to do. But for 3 years, 3 years, I prayed and I cried. And it seemed as though nothing had changed. I was fearful. Once again, we go back to this Psalms 34. That David said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord and I knew he heard me, but I wasn't delivered yet. I was still fearful. I was stuck. And when you're stuck, you tend to look around at what is and not what shall be. See, I want you to, I want you, because see, I was a microscope magnifier. And the crazy thing about the microscope, if you can imagine what it looks like, it caused you to hang your head down low. It's very positioning is that you were to look down at something that's really small instead of the telescope magnifier to cause you to look up to see how big God really is. See, I want to change your positioning. I want you, see, I don't care what 2017 was like. I don't care what yesterday was like. Guess what? That was yesterday. But see, as we go forward, see, I want you to change. I don't want you to magnify the small things in life, but I want you to look up. David said, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. David wasn't saying that his help came from the hills. That was a question mark on that scripture. But David said, I will look up, for my help comes from God, not from looking down at this circumstance. I don't want you to be deceived. See, my life hasn't always been rainbows, sunshine, and snowflakes. It hasn't. I had to go through some things. I had to endure some things. But I understand that me going through it was necessary for me. I don't care what's going on next year. I'm going to declare the very thing that I heard from God, that it's going to be my greatest year yet. It's going to be. I want you to magnify God. I want you to exalt him. I want you to speak the very thing that I don't know what Pastor Locke is going to preach in 2 weeks. But I'm telling you what I know. I've been here 9 years with him. And I've seen, listen, one thing, part of what I am and part of my anointing is a seer. And I've seen that each and every year, Pastor declares a thing. That's exactly what comes into fruition. Every year. There was a number of years ago, we put on camo. Ready for war. And I tell you what, if I didn't fight that whole year. That whole year. I fought battles that weren't mine. I preached this before. I fought battles that wasn't even my battle. I could have sat back and just looked and said, I don't have anything to do with that. But that wasn't what God told me. That wasn't what was declared at the beginning of the year. To change your positioning. 2018 will be my best year. Yet, power, blessing, and favor is what Pastor said on this video. This video is going to be on social media, Facebook or Instagram. Play it, watch it, speak it, and watch it if it doesn't come into fruition. If you are coming to this church, watch and see what Pastor Locke speaks if it doesn't come into fruition. I tell you, I've been here. I've walked with him. To magnify God. But let me get back to my circumstances of life that caused me to look at the little things and caused me to begin to speak the small things. Because see, I thought I was blessed. I thought the blessings of God was all over my life. I came to church on Sunday. I did my little praise and worship. And then when I left church, I kind of left God. Left him right there. Like, God, you can stay here. I'm going to handle Monday through Saturday. And then I began to complain off of the circumstances of life. When I left him, I quit looking at him, and I began to look at and magnify my circumstances. But listen, don't get me wrong. I was blessed. Jesus told Thomas, because you have seen, you believe. But he said, blessed are those who have not seen but believe. So I was blessed. But see, there's a difference. There's a difference from what I would call, listen to me, what I would call a trickling type of blessing that comes through belief and the overflow that comes through obedience. See, you're blessed if you believe that Jesus is who he said he is. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that the Father from heaven sent him to here on the earth to live, to die on the cross, and to be rose from the dead for the remission of our sins, he said that you are blessed. But there's a difference from that type of blessing that I call. Listen, I call it that. Because, see, I've done both. There's a difference that comes through belief and the overflow that comes through obedience. See, you want the overflow, then try God. He said to try me now and see. I've tried him. And he is who he said he is. See, when you obey God, it increases your faith. When you increase your faith, it becomes easier to obey him. So when things happen in life and God takes you through one victory, you begin to glorify God. And when you begin to glorify God, the enemy is going to come to try to shut your mouth. But see, at that point, it's not when you're supposed to shut your mouth. That's when you're supposed to enlarge God or to make God big as he really is, because he's done it before you once already, and surely he will do it again. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. He's not that big, but I thought I was saved. Sunday, and I'm telling you my life, I thought I was saved. I remember being so proud that I used to give $20 bills in the offering. Because I remember growing up, we used to pass a plate. And I used to see dollars in there. So I thought, when I got of age and I was an adult and I was giving an offering, I thought I was something because I put a 20 in there. Because I was looking at the little things. I was looking, listen, I don't know what people's circumstances are that gave, but I know when I looked in the plate, I'm like, God, look at this. Pop. Make sure it sits right on top. But I was making more than $20. But I thought I was something. And then I would go out. Sunday was Sunday. I'm saved on Sunday. If the rapture happened, if it was me, it was going to happen on Sunday. I was pretty sure I was saved on Sunday. But then the circumstances, the trials of life. Life happened. And some things were self-inflicted. Others were not. But God got all of the blame. All of it. I was living my life. I was wilding out. I was magnifying the small things. But then once I did that, and the things that I was looking at and creating, causing to be bigger, all of that causes things to happen that aren't so much favorable. At least that's how it was in my life. And I begin to blame God. God says, I said to turn away. If you're going this way, God says to turn away. That's 180 degrees. A complete turning away and to follow after him. But he received the blame for the things that I magnified. But I've learned. I've watched God in my life. There's no greater storm. The crazy thing that I've seen in my life is every storm seemed to be bigger than the last storm. And I say that because, see, I want you to understand this, that there is no greater impossible. Listen to me. There is no greater impossible. If God did the impossible for you once, if you see another impossible come, it's not greater than the last impossible that God did for you. But you have to magnify God and not that circumstance. God, you did it before. I know it looks bad. The enemy's telling me it looks bad. Just like going in 2018. God willing, I got to work that whole year. I don't play the lottery or anything. That's just my choice. I don't play it. So I can't see a bunch of money where I can stop working. I have to work every one of these weeks next year. And there's a lot of stuff that I see at my job. But I have to work it. But it's all about how I'm going to look at it. I'm going to magnify God over every circumstance that I encounter. Listen, when I walk in the home, once again, I told you at the beginning of this, listen, I don't so much run from the enemy. I look for him. When I walk in the home, I take authority over that home. There's going to be peace while I'm there. And I'm going to give them whatever seed that God would have me to plant in the moment. And yes, I minister at work. Now listen, don't get me wrong. You might not come on a call and I'm in there saying in the name of Jesus. But see, I'm going to give them the word of God. Whether it's actual scripture or I speak in types of parables as Jesus did. But I'm going to tell them the truth because I have to tell them the truth. I have to reorientate them so that they can look at now that while I'm there, there's peace. What they do after I leave is on them. God sent me there. Because nothing happens in my life by coincidence or happenstance, but it's all ordained by God. Amen? So while I'm there, there shall be peace. While I'm there, I'm going to speak the truth. While I'm there. But what they do once I leave is on them. I send them to Victory. I send them to all kinds of campuses. I tell them, we got eight. I even recommend sometimes. And so guess what? Sometimes it's not even Liberty. Because I go off of what I hear from God. Amen? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Magnify. Magnify. What are you magnifying? I'm going to skim through this whole chapter. 1 Samuel 17 deals with David and Goliath. This biblical account, when speakers say, you know, a story, it kind of almost offends me because I'm like, it's not a story. It's not a fairy tale. This is history. When you go to history class, they don't tell you, let me tell you the story. This is history. This happened. But this deals with David and Goliath. And I'm going to start in verse number 1, and I might mess up some of these names, but I'm going to try my best. Chapter 17, 1 Samuel, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Soko, which belonged to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azra and Ephes, Demon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. And now the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 6,000 shekels. And a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? and you serve, and you the servants of Saul. Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. John, can I see you for a minute? I'm going to bring John up here. And because I do want you to see something. And Wade, okay, come on up here for a second. You can sit and spin, as Pastor would say, or you can use the steps over there. But this day, John's going to be Goliath. And Wade is David. Now, I just want a visual here because, and Wade is kind of a big dude, so I want you to, like, take about, I don't know, 50 pounds off of him. Because David was a young man. David was a young man. David was not a grown man. But see, when David showed up, because his father sent him, David went from, because of time, I'm going to skim over some things, but David's father Jesse sent him to take some snacks to his brothers who were following after Saul, going to war. So David was at home tending sheep. And his father said, go take these snacks down there. And once David gets there, David's just so happy and bubbly. So happy. But David gets there just before Goliath came out, and he said the same thing over again. David was a young man. Goliath towered over. I'm just going to put some numbers here. I've did some research, and no one's entirely sure how tall Goliath was. I've seen 9 feet to 10 feet. I've seen 6'9". But we know that he was large. The weight of his armor was probably more than what David weighed altogether. So David gets there and he hears Goliath say that I defy the armies of Israel. Tell him. And David gets there. Now David knew in part, he didn't understand the whole thing, but David knew that he was chosen by God. But David gets down there, a young man, and he hears this. And David, if you read chapter 17, David looks out and he has to be slightly perplexed, because you got little David amongst armies, hearing the enemy come and defy the armies of Israel. And once he says, I defy the armies of Israel, guess what he does? Because Israel belongs to God, he's defying God. So David gets there, and David's looking around like, nobody? Nobody? I have to imagine that there's hundreds of thousands of Israelite males there for battle. And David looked around, young David, young man, looked around and said, nobody? Thank you. Nobody? Because listen, you can be amongst a multitude of microscope magnifiers. Because once you read chapter 17, you'll see that everyone ran and hid. Everyone, the Bible tells us. These are armies, the Philistine army and Israel, the armies of Israel. They're ready to fight. They got on the gear, they got the sword, they got the shield, they got everything. You have to imagine that they're ready to fight, but no one. Because everyone magnified Goliath bigger than what he was. Listen, once again, it is what it is. Goliath was Goliath. Goliath, and listen, Saul was no small fry. Saul, what the Bible tells us, that Saul was head and shoulders. When God first picked Saul to be king, the Bible tells us that Saul was tall. They said that he was head and shoulders taller than everyone else. So if the average man say he was 6 foot, then Saul was, let's put him at 7. Saul was a big dude. But because Saul was afraid, and this goes into Psalms 133, and Pastor speaks it often. That's why you want to bless the man of God. That's why you want him to be blessed. Because whatever God does with him, it has to get on all of us. So I want him blessed. I want God to do what he said he was going to do. But because Saul was afraid, and Saul was a small guy, caused it all, everyone, to be afraid. The Saul got to the point where Saul said that he would give him his daughter. Let me find it. What shall be done to the man who kills the Philistine? And if you go back up to verse 25, and the men of Israel said, Have you seen? Did you look at him? If you start at verse 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw him, they magnified him. When they saw him, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel, said, have you seen? Once again, they're looking at the man. Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. All these things. See, Saul was so afraid that Saul was giving away everything. Saul said that I'll put you in my house. And not only am I going to try to hook you up, I'm going to hook your dad up. His house. Nobody has to pay taxes. In your father's house. And David said, what shall be done? David, I got to imagine, David had to be, once again, perplexed. Like, okay, God is with us. And he's offering all of this and no one. Microscope magnifier. David continued to be what David was. David was a telescope magnifier. Because when David spoke with Saul, he spoke with Saul in verse 34, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And I want you to write that down, underline it, circle it. That's the first part of the statement that he said before the comma. I'm reading from the New King James Version. He said, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when I read that, going over the word that God had given me, when I read that, I kind of marveled because David knew something was about to happen. He said, your servant used to keep it. Listen, he was just doing that before he got there. When he first got there, his brother said, where have you kept those few sheep? But David knew something, and this is leading right up into 2018 when you break out to break into. David said when he stood before King Saul that, listen, I know what I used to do, but see, I'm about to walk into something here. I'm about to walk into a whole bunch of something. Not only am I about to be blessed, but I'm about to be pretty wealthy. I'm about to have your daughter, and I'm about to walk around the palace. That's what he thought. That's why he said, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. But I'm about to go out here. I'm going to paraphrase a little. I'm going to go out here and kill Goliath which is going to change everything, not only for me, but everyone in my Father's house. See, some of the battles that I had to fight and some of the battles that I fought, I understand now that those battles were not just for me, but it's for everyone that follows after. Everyone, see, I can tell you God is God. I can tell you that he'll do just what he said he would do because, see, I've seen him do it in my life. I've seen him. I've been to the place. I've been to those places where it seemed to be impossible, and I don't want to sugarcoat it. It was impossible. It was. But I believed. I believed. Everything that came against me, just like David stood, when David stood there, listen, eventually David had to put his words into action. Once he's talked with King Saul, he had to eventually go out there and fight Goliath. That's why, no, this is how David is able to say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears." Because David been to battle after battle after he had to fight with against his own family. But he seen, David wouldn't even touch Saul. David knew he was anointed king. But David knew that, listen, if this is God's and this is God's plan and his will for me, I don't have to put my hand on it. God will do what he said he would do. We just need to keep on believing and trusting in God no matter what our circumstances say, no matter what the trials of life declares to us, we have to continue to believe what God spoke to us. This is why I can say that this is my greatest year. 2018 will exceed this year. I believe it. Because I spoke it, I'm telling you, the enemy's going to come against it. That's what he is. That's why he's the adversary. He comes against. Once God speaks it, it goes all the way back to the beginning in Genesis. God said, "In the day that you eat the fruit, you will surely die." The enemy came right behind God and said, "You won't." He added one word, "won't surely die." But when God speaks, the enemy is going to come against the very word of God. And I'm going to skip down to verse 45, and as I'm rounding home here, then David said to the Philistine, "You come with a sword, with a spear." See, David was in a javelin, and with the javelin, David was illustrating, pointing out everything that everyone else was magnifying. Yes, Goliath, you're big. Yes, you seem to be a big, strong man. The weight of your armor is bigger than I am. You come to me with all of these things that the armies of Israel are magnifying, but I come to you. He says, "But I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike and take your head from you." Listen, this is bold. Listen, this is bold. "I will strike and take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth, David said, this isn't just for me, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And the amazing thing, once you continue on in chapter 17, David, once he killed Goliath, that gave everybody else courage. It gave everyone else courage. Before you can break out to break into, you must face what's before you. Listen, don't run from the enemy. Don't try to get away or get around him. But trust God. Trust God, because I know what God has spoken. When Pastor came out with the title for 2018 New Year's Eve service, it agreed with my spirit to break out, to break into, because it's God's desire to bless you. It's God's desire to lift up his people so that everyone, just as David spoke here, so that everyone can see that your God is real. Because, see, once God does it for you, once God does it, then you begin to go out and glorify God. That I've seen him. I've seen the streams in the desert. I've been there. I've been to places where there was no hope. And the enemy told me, there is no hope. And I looked out and guess what? I seen no hope. And I remember talking to God. I said, God, how do I be like Abraham? How do I hope against hope? How do I hope when it's hopeless? How do I do it? You do it. There's no magic word or phrase. You just magnify your God. God, I heard Pastor Mike said that you brought him through the desert. I heard him say that he was in a place where there was no hope. And I also heard him say that 2017 was his greatest year. And I heard him say that 2018 will even exceed that. Watch and see. Stand with me. Watch and see. Watch and see. Because, see, I know God. I watched. That's what I am. That's what I am, and that's what I do. But you have to change your positioning to magnify God over the small things in life. See, small things will cause you not to move. And guess what? Sometimes the small things cause you to move when God told you not to move. That's what small things do. Because someone offended you, you're ready to quit your job. Because you're offended. Because somebody's not acting or treating you right, you want to totally discard them. Yet I didn't see Christ do that. And I only do, I try to watch, and whatever God does, whatever Jesus Christ do, well, that's what I do. Jesus says, I only do what I see and I speak what I hear from the Father. This is also what I try to do. If someone shunned me, I don't just cast them off. Because that's not the love of Christ. But should they come again, should they come around again, you know what I do? I love them. Because you don't know what they're dealing with. But you would say, I'm dealing with some need too. But what I can tell you is what I know. This love covers a multitude of wrongs. Love covers. People offended me at my job years ago when God sent me back to talk to them. And I apologized for some things. God told me to say I'm sorry. To some that I felt, come on, Dennis, that I felt that I didn't do anything to. But God says, I need you to go there. I loved. The Bible tells me that if your ways please him. I've seen this in my life. I've seen it. Listen, if you will walk with me now, I can show you who used to be my, I can show you who I would consider used to be my enemy. God says, if your ways please me, I will make even your enemies at peace with you. I walk in peace. I've seen God do what he said. This is why I want you to not concentrate on the circumstances. I don't care what it is. Cancer. Guess what? You can't see it. Yet everyone magnifies it. Everyone enlarges it. They make it bigger than what it really is automatically, because I've heard it. A lot of people, once they hear that word, they automatically think death. But when I hear the word, I automatically think life, because my God is the Redeemer. My God is the one who strengthens the weak and the frail. God can do it. But what you enlarge, you begin to speak. God will do it. But make God big. Be a telescope magnifier. Be a telescope magnifier. Enlarge your God is as big as he is. And until you begin to see the very thing that you're speaking, move and become alive in your life. Keep speaking and keep praying. Keep believing. I don't care what the enemy shows you. He's real. He'll get out. He'll do all kinds of things. He'll show you all kinds of things in the natural. But keep believing. So God, I know that you are Jehovah Rapha. I know that you are God who heals. I know that you are my redeemer. I know that you are the one who makes for my peace. I have wars going on all around, but you said that you have given me peace. So I receive it. See, you begin to magnify the very attributes of God. He is your healer. He is your peace. He is your redeemer. Once you begin to magnify God as big as God really is, then God begins to show you that he's even bigger than that. It doesn't matter. Listen, it is what it is. Circumstances of life happen. Trials of life happen. The afflictions of life, guess what? They happen. But your God is bigger. Oh, magnify the Lord. Magnify him. So even in this moment, I'm going to do an altar call, but this altar call is for everyone. And especially for those who would move. That if you're believing, listen, and come believe in New Year's Eve for God to do something, to show himself great in your life, because I'm telling you, he's going to do it. But if you're going through, if something in life just isn't going the way you thought it was going to go by this time in your life, I want you to come up here. I want you to come to the altar, and there's going to be altar workers who's going to pray with you and speak with you, because God is and God will do what he said he would. Come magnify the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to move. If you're praying for some, then there are some that are praying for their spouse. Because you thought that once God began to do a work in your life, you thought it was going to just cover everything. But the enemy keeps showing you the contrary. But you know what God spoke to you. You know what he said. You have to magnify your God. You have to lift him up. You put him in remembrance of his words. Say, God, you said this. Father, I know what it looks like, but I'm going to believe and I'm going to declare the very thing that I heard you speak to me. Because although the enemy came and showed me something different, I believe the word that you spoke. Come magnify the Lord with me. He's worthy. God will do what he said that he would do. Some have been standing for years. God, you said that when you saved me, you would save my whole household. And I've been walking with you for years, and I've yet to see fulfill the very word that you spoke to me. Come magnify the Lord with me. Circumstances of life happen. Things happen. But in spite of, magnify God. Exalt his name and watch God move. You'll begin to see the streams and the rivers in the desert. Because God is faithful. He will do what he said that he would do. and you will magnify him. That's what the word says. That's what the Bible says, that when you call upon him in your day of trouble, he says, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. That's what he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Here I am, Lord. Here I am.
Hallelujah.
Standing in the need.
Hallelujah.
Standing in the need. Standing in the need
of prayer. Oh,
standing in the need. Sing one more time. Sing, here I am, Lord.
Here I am.
Standing in the need.
Everyone under the sound of my voice, lift up your hands. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. Father, even as I stand before you and before your people, I lift up everyone under the sound of my voice. And Father, even as David spoke, I do declare, Lord, that we magnify you greater than the enemy himself, greater than our circumstance, greater than our trials and our tribulations. Father, we magnify the name of the Lord Most High. Father, even as your people come into an agreement with this, Father, I pray that, Father, that you would reveal your glory. Father, do what you promised, what you said that you would do. Father, that they would see that your word is true. Father, for you said it, and I know that you will do it. You said to call upon you. Father, in this moment, in this hour, Father, we call upon you in our time of trouble. Believe in your word, Father, for we magnify you over the trouble that's come against your people. Father, that we might grab hold of the promise, that we might grab hold of your word and run with it with great joy. Father, that we might see your face, that we might see your glory, that we might see the fulfillment of the promise in each and every life here this day. Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, amen, hallelujah. Come magnify the Lord. Listen, I don't want to, it seems as though I was in a rush and I don't, listen, come next Sunday. If this is your first time, I don't want you to skip next Sunday. Come next Sunday and see our pastor Locke. But I am so looking forward to not only next Sunday, but the next Sunday after that, New Year's Eve service. Come magnify the Lord with us. Let's make God big as he really is. For there is nothing too hard for your God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Magnify God. Hallelujah. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name in all the earth. I bless your coming and I bless your going. I bless everything that is God intended for your very purpose. I bless this season of life. My prayer is that you begin to see how good God is. Just as we sang it today, that he's a good, good father. That God would bless your eyes that you might see him and see how big he is. He really is. I bless your homes, your finances. I bless your jobs. I bless the seeds, your natural seeds and even the spiritual seeds that you've sown. May you be so full of life with blessings and joy that you do what? Give it away to someone before you leave. Amen. Hallelujah.